Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we continue the fifth leg of our Lenten journey on the road from dust to glory. Our text is from Jesus' words in Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Suppose the company that you work for wrote a description of the ideal person to be its brand new CEO. Do you think that meekness would be on that list? In the next presidential election, do you think that the candidate would garner many votes whose campaign theme is, "Vote for me, I'm meek"? Or when a congregation needs to fill a pastoral vacancy, how excited do you think the call committee would be about a candidate who says that his primary leadership quality is meekness? Perhaps you've heard of the organization called the Dependent Order of Really Meek and Timid Souls. You know, when you make an acrostic of the first letters of its name, you get the word doormats. These doormats also have an official insignia, a yellow caution light. And their official motto is, "The meek shall inherit the earth," if that's okay with everybody. A man by the name of Upton Dixon founded the society after he wrote a pamphlet called Cower Power. So, is that what Jesus means in this beatitude, that God's people are blessed if they have the personality of a doormat? Hardly. But perhaps we can find the answer by asking two simple questions. What does true meekness mean? And secondly, what does true meekness gain? As for the true meaning, now I want you to keep in mind that words have a way of changing meanings over the years. For example, back in 1900, rap meant to strike or hit. In 1930, it meant the punishment for a crime. In 1960, it meant a discussion. And since the 1990s, it's meant a style of music that I find particularly annoying, even so-called Christian rap. Thus, what a word meant way back in 1611 A.D., when the King James Version of the Bible was written, that might just be different from the meaning of the same word today. And yet, I shouldn't have been surprised when I saw that the Merriam and Webster Online Dictionary defined meek as, quote, "deficient in spirit and courage, and being not violent or strong." But the lexicographers couldn't have been more wrong about that. Part of the problem is that not all ancient words like parous have a direct equivalent in English, so it's best that we look back at how the word was originally used. In classical Greek, three different types of people tended to use it: doctors, sailors, and farmers. The doctor used this word meek to describe a soothing medicine that would take away pain. The sailor used it to refer to a gentle breeze that brought refreshment to the sailors. The farmer used it for a word for a wild horse that had been broken and was then now able to be useful in farm work. In other words, meekness is power under control. Medicine used out of control or indiscriminately can wreck your health. And we all know what damage a hurricane, wind out of control, can do. And just try to ride a horse that's not been broke to ride, and you'll learn the definition of power not under control. While weakness is a lack of strength, meekness is strength under control. So Jesus was describing a believer whose strength, abilities, and energies are controlled by God. In his book, The Pursuit of God, A.W. Tozer wrote, and I quote now, "The meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson. But he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows that he is as weak and helpless as God has declared him to be. But paradoxically, he knows at the same time that he is, in the sight of God, more important than the angels. He knows well that the world will never see him as God sees him, but he has stopped being concerned about himself." Only two people in the Bible are overtly described as meek. Can you name them? Jesus and Moses. Moses was one of the greatest leaders in history. It took backbone, of course, to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. And yet, when his brother and sister bitterly criticized and opposed him for marrying a Cushite woman, instead of taking matters into his own hands, he waited for God to defend him, which God did. And what was the great leader's epithet in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3? It refers to Moses as, now get this, the meekest man who ever lived. Imagine also the control it took on the part of Jesus not to shrivel the arm of the men who beat those nails into his wrists and feet, or to strike down those who ridiculed him on the cross, maybe with a lightning bolt, or to call down upon his enemies in Gethsemane those 12 legions of angels. You know, that's about 80,000 of them. Twice in the book of Matthew, our Lord Jesus is described as meek. In his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Matthew wrote, and I quote, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you meek and riding on the colt of a donkey." And Jesus also described himself in Matthew 11, 28 to 30 by saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Thus, to be meek is to be like Christ. Yet Christ never was, never will be weak. For the Lamb of God, remember, was also the Lion of Judah, gentle but tough, and always controlled by the will of the Heavenly Father. Here Jesus promises to teach you true meekness if you are willing to yoke yourself to him. You know, often a young ox would be yoked with an older, more experienced ox so that the older might train the younger one on how to do things correctly. And so by carrying the same yoke, the untrained ox would learn the proper pace and, most importantly, how to go in the direction that his master wanted him to go. In the same way, you and I also can learn how to be meek and to experience the blessings of this beatitude if we humbly surrender ourselves to him for direction. Jesus and Moses teach us that people who submit their life to God's control learn to refrain from revenge and to constrain their anger. They trust God and willingly and humbly commit to doing things God's way, even when they possess the power to do it their own way. If you've been traveling very far down that road of Christian discipleship, you probably struggle with doing things God's way instead of your own way, haven't you? A stressed-out driver, for example, on a busy street was tailgating a woman's car. Suddenly, the light turned yellow just in front of her. She did the right thing by stopping at the crosswalk, although she could have beaten the red light by accelerating quickly through the intersection. Well, the tailgating man hit the roof and the horn, screaming in frustration as he missed his chance to barrel through the intersection on her bumper. Still in mid-rant, he heard a tap on the window of the car and looked up into the face of a very serious-looking police officer who ordered the man to exit the car with his hands up. He was searched, handcuffed, and placed into the back of the patrol car. After almost 30 minutes of interaction on his radio and in-car computer, the officer let the man out and released him. And he said, "I'm sorry for this mistake. I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the lady in front of you and cussing a blue streak at her. And I noticed the Choose Life license plate holder, the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated fish emblem on the trunk. So naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car." Aristotle defined meekness as the mean between two extremes, intense anger and excessive indifference. It's the happy medium between too much wrath and too little passion. So the Greek scholar and Bible commentator William Barclay suggested that this beatitude be translated, "Blessed is the man who is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time." Inwardly, the meek willingly hand control over to Jesus so that meekness can be seen, for example, in a mother who handles a child gently instead of jerking that little one around when she's frustrated. Meekness is seen when a person is being corrected and instead of being sullen and defensive, is open and teachable. who we surrender our will to, and this is crucial, whether it be to God or to ourselves, ultimately reveals our character that we possess. The promise of this beatitude is that life will become a delight when you consistently give control to God, trusting that His will be done in your life. Therefore, if this is what meekness means, well, what then does meekness gain for us? I guess we could say in a nutshell, Jesus says, the meek will inherit the earth. In fact, the verse is emphatic in the original Greek, meaning literally that the meek and only the meek will inherit the earth. The late oil billionaire J. Paul Getty once said, the meek shall inherit the earth, but not its oil and mineral rights. But Jesus isn't promising us that all because we're meek, will be bequeathed great earthly possessions. So don't say, well, I'm meek now, Lord, so where's my $200,000 XP100D Tesla? God was quoting, or Jesus was quoting, Psalm 37, verse 11, where inherit means to enter into possession of something that's been promised by God. In fact, when you read Psalm 37:11, you'll find it says, the meek will inherit the land, as in promised land. God was telling the Hebrews, those who humbly and obediently accept my will, they will enter into the land I've prepared for them. And those who spend their lives waiting upon God will be ready for the Messiah when he comes. In other words, for the one who humbly submits to Christ, it means far more than the possession of any territory on earth. It means we inherit his promise of abundant life here and now on earth, as well as all the rights as heirs of eternal life that will come to us when Christ returns for us on the last day. If you know Jesus by faith as your only Lord and Savior, then that makes you an heir of everything that he has promised. You'll get some of it now, but much more of it later. There will be an inheritance for the meek, not only in the sweet by and by, but also in this often nasty now. Right now, it does seem like sinners reign, and that the meek possess very little. But in reality, believers who faithfully live out this beatitude may seem like they have nothing, yet they possess everything. After all, it's only the meek who will reign with the Savior. The meek are able to be at peace because they know that God has everything in his perfect purview and is still in charge. And even if they have to endure some adversity here and now, ultimately his purposes will be worked out for them. The meek are confident that wickedness and evil do not and never will have the final word, and that truth and righteousness will prevail. And they know that the earth and the fullness thereof remain the property of the Lord, and that he's chosen to make it the inheritance of those who walk with him, not walk in wilted weakness, but in mastered meekness. You know, the pharaohs of Egypt, Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Napoleon Bonaparte, the Caesars of Rome, Adolf Hitler, and the communists, they all arrogantly tried to conquer the world and failed. They had huge armies under their control, but what they didn't rule was their own spirit. But Jesus says there are people who can subdue this earth. He calls them the meek. In the end, the meek will inherit the earth because they're the only ones who can be trusted with power. If you give power to a proud person, it becomes all about them. They'll stop at nothing less than world domination. However, the meek genuinely and completely surrender themselves to their Creator, not because they're Casper milk toasts, but because they know in whom their true strength lies. As somebody once said, spiritual meekness means giving up to God without a struggle. Friends, meekness isn't one of those traits you can just take or leave and then still expect to live a fulfilled Christian life. It is a necessity. Only people who humble themselves before God and admit their helplessness without him can be saved. Secondly, meekness is necessary in our witnessing. People have this gentle picture in their minds of what Jesus was like, and meekness usually characterizes that picture. Well, why then would they listen to us if we, who claim to be his followers don't act like him. And third, meekness is necessary if our lives are to bring glory to God. Otherwise, when we're controlling and proud instead of meek, we just edify ourselves, not him. In other words, meekness is a welcome master over all our other traits and the fruit of the Spirit that we have been given. I'm sure you've heard of the Greek philosopher Diogenes, famous for carrying around that lamp and looking for an honest man. He didn't find one, by the way. Once Diogenes, though, sailed on a ship that was captured by pirates who made slaves of the surviving passengers. A slave trader correctly guessed that Diogenes was no mere field hand. Asked if he had a useful trade, the new slave replied that he was no tradesman or skilled laborer. His only trade was that of governing men. Thus, Diogenes concluded, "I would like to be sold to a man who needs a master." And you know what? He was. A man bought Diogenes and became a tutor. He became a tutor for his sons and advisor ruler of his entire household. Diogenes again became the master. Evidently, finding a man in need of a master is far easier than the search for an honest man. I'm in need of a master. You are too. Our words, actions, and influence are powerful, but they need to be controlled so that others aren't hurt. Our master is Jesus, the truly meekest person who ever lived. By willingly dying on the cross, when he could have gotten down from it any time he desired, he proved a sacrificial love for us. And by rising from the grave and defeating even the power of death itself, he demonstrated that he also has the power to regulate our lives right now. Today, he offers the world to those who willingly submit to him, to the meek, the ones who will inherit the earth. God has blessed us powerfully, but he's still training us to be controlled by him. The meek are the strong who are under God's control. Does he have that control over your life? Do you include him in all of your plans and your decisions? Do you trust him enough to follow his wisdom in knowing how to control the power that he's given you, of knowing when to step up, but also when to step back? If so, then you are among the meek, and you are blessed. And one day you'll possess in fullness the inheritance that you could never acquire on your own, the riches of eternal life in the new heaven and earth. So may God grant this in our Savior's name. Amen.